Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the first 2023 edition of the Woke Bros. Of course, I'm your co-host, Big Waz, aka Wazzy Lambre, and I'm joined by my brother, Nando Vila. What's going on, big man?
Just excited for 2023, dude. Can you believe 1993 was 30 years ago?
It's insane. It's inconceivable.
So 2003 was 20 years ago?
So 1993 is definitely the year that I became sentient. Because I was 5 back then. Like, I remember my kindergarten teacher's name, and I remember what street I lived on. Like, I remember life as a 5-year-old in 1993. 2003 just literally just feels like yesterday.
Feels like yesterday, dude.
Yeah. It just feels like yesterday. Like, I was a high schooler, just a young punk obsessed with basketball, rap, girls. So in other words, nothing's really changed. but no, man, 2003 just seems like yesterday. And what's funny is next month, like around my birthday, is the 20th anniversary of Get Rich or Die Trying, 50 Cent's like ridiculously successful album. Of course, he's a Queens native. I was living in Queens at the time when that was happening. I was just like, it's been 20 years since that explosion happened, which is just crazy. But yeah, happy new year to everybody watching the show. You know, happy holidays. Hope you guys enjoy yourself. We were on a hiatus, but we're super happy to be back. The World Cup is over. Premier League has finally started back. But yeah, we ain't off of the soccer news yet, guys. We're still getting into soccer and the just messy, juicy pettiness of the U.S. men's national team, that like the fallout from the World Cup continues. Backstabbing, gossiping, snitch. It's crazy. We're going to get into that and what the ramifications of that might be. But first, we got to talk about GOP dysfunction. We really do that kind of show up here because, honestly, Nando, the GOP, they kind of move in lockstep. Like, they don't really have this kind of thing happen in a meaningful way. You'll see every now and again, oh, Trump, you know, he backed one GOP guy instead of another in a primary. Or, you know, you'll see some little baby backfighting and infighting. But what they're doing to Kevin McCarthy's bid to try to get the speakership of the House with their narrow-ass margin and majority is freaking hilarious. And to be clear, by the time you guys hear this on Thursday, they might have resolved this and Kevin McCarthy might be in by now. But the point still stands. At last checked, it's been 6 votes and this guy has come up 20 votes short with a group of, you know, these guys are calling themselves hardline, real Republican right wingers led by Matt Gaetz, who's like under investigation for statutory rape or something like that. He's the one leading the charge. And it's just, it's crazy, Nando. It's crazy because we have to explain to folks that, like, there's no other path. Like, they have no path to actually bringing forth a candidate that they like, right? Like, they don't have the votes for it. No candidate exists that's going to, you know, sort of backstab the party establishment and go against McCarthy and make this into, like, a legitimate civil war. They're just doing this because they don't fuck with him. And they don't like him. They've made him give up these ridiculous concessions around chasing Joe Biden's kid's dick around in a committee or like all kinds of stupid shit. They're just doing this to give him lashes, Nando. Like, what is the other explanation behind this?
I mean, I think you're right to point out that it's purely superficial. I mean, I was just thinking while you were talking about the difference between the Dems and the GOP. And it's funny because the GOP is ideologically more coherent than the Dems, right? But they're stylistically more, in, you know, disparate. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yes, in a sense, to explain that to people, like Nancy Pelosi and AOC are allegedly from both different wings of the party, but like their affect and their approach is the same. Yes. You know,
and the difference between Nancy Pelosi, like say Nancy Pelosi, to put a good example, is like a conservative Dem and AOC. You know, AOC, like, would probably call herself a socialist, right? Like, you know, you know what I mean? Like, whether we have our criticisms of her or whatever, but, like, ideologically, like, her and Nancy Pelosi are, like, you know? But because the Dems are so obsessed with decorum and politeness and shit like that, you know, which, again, is probably an effect to discipline, you know, people like AOC. And the fact that AOC buys into that is probably for the worse. But the fact is that they're kind of, like, part of this little club in which they'll have to be nice to each other. And the GOP, there is no real difference between, I don't know, who's the most conservative Republican, you know, whatever.
What does that even mean these days? Like, Mike Huckabee type? Like, what does it mean to be the most conservative?
It doesn't mean anything. You know what I mean? So, like, they agree on basically everything, but they're mad about all kinds of culture war bullshit, stylistic issues that don't make any difference. And they're more willing to be kind of rambunctious about it and to yell at each other in a way that the Dems are not, which again, like this speaker fight is hilarious.
It's just funny.
But it's really funny. It's not going to do, it's not going to mean much from a actual hard policy standpoint. Like there's no, they're not asking for any consent. It's not like they're saying like, oh,
wait, you know, you said not mean much from hard policy. Let's be clear. They're not asking for any policy stuff. They've asked for, again, they claim they want to investigate Hunter Biden. They might want to impeach Joe Biden. They claim to want to investigate the FBI and CIA. Investigate the investigators, basically some Trump type of shit. What was the last thing? Oh, they said they want to investigate Nancy Pelosi's tax returns, which do it.
I want to.
But yeah, it's not, they're not talking about, yo, if you do this, we want you to bring up like privatization of Social Security in the House, or we want you to do this. It's none of that.
But
none of that.
You know, it brings up an interesting point because I think what politics has become, you know, and what people who are obsessed with politics, like the people who are like watching MSNBC or Fox News all day, what politics has become is not a fight over resources or, no, you know, the structures of capital, you know, capital versus labor. It's not about like any meaningful policy thing. It's barely even about some of the social issues anymore about, you know, but it's more about like when we're in power, when our team is in power, how effectively or aggressively are we going to use our state power to punish the people I don't like, the libs, you know? Yeah. And in the libs, like what they want to do is like do the same thing to conservatives, right? That was like, that was one of the provocations of that show, The Watchmen, you know? Mm-hmm. Did you see that show on HBO?
Of course.
It was like, what would the Damon Lindelof, who's a kind of squishy lib, he took the thought process of like, what if the squishy libs like me took over the state? And we just like punished the right wingers, the racists, and the, you know, that we don't like, you know, and we instituted the kind of liberal dictatorship. You know what I mean? Like that's what politics has become. Like he understood kind of what politics is now and just took it to an extreme. And that's what it is. It's like, oh, we're in power now, and you're not fucking harassing Hunter Biden every day.
You're not doing a good job of it. Yeah,
you're not doing a good job. Like it doesn't affect anyone's life. Like Hunter Biden's story is kind of sad, tragic, probably also corrupt. I mean, like the Ukraine shit is super corrupt, but it doesn't affect us in any meaningful way. Like, it doesn't affect anyone in any meaningful way. And the fact that that's like what they're obsessed with, it just means like we don't like them because they're on the other team. How can we punish them the most?
Yeah. And again, I think what's important to watch this one, because they are legitimately like they are cucking the hell out of Kevin McCarthy, right? Like they are legitimately embarrassing this dude, like for their own enjoyment, it seems like. That's a one. And what it says about our politics today, to just the point that Nando was making about the parties and the styles, right? The Democrats, on the one hand, in their coalition, is a lot more heterogeneous, meaning it's a bunch of people from different races, different backgrounds, different income distribution on the, you know, the tax brackets and all of that. Like it's legitimately a diverse coalition. So it's hard to wrangle the different interests, if you will, a lot of times, right? Like people like me and Nando might be like, yo, we need to expand the shit out of Social Security, Medicaid for all, blah, 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 all of that. Where like a lot of these Democrats, like it's proven like they don't really give a fuck about that shit. Like it's just obvious. Like a lot of Democrats don't care too much about that, right? Whereas the Republicans, it's like 90% white, mostly on the upper distribution of the tax bracket. So it's just like, there's nothing, like these people have, they know what they want, you know? For the most part, the constituency is there. And there's some, of course, there's some differences when you talk about rural people and, you know, certain uneducated whites or whatever you want to say. But the Democrats literally have people with college degrees, without, black, white, Latin, Asian, you name it. All of it is there. The Republicans are just a bunch of white people. who mostly are well off, right? Like, that's just basically what it is. But their representatives are just like, they have to act muscular. And I'm, you know, Kevin McCarthy is a, he's a rhino. He's a Republican in name only. Like, what, like, show me this, like, this diversity of Republican that, like, nobody can show you this person, not as like a politician or really a voter.
No, it's really wild. I mean, it's really funny, and people are glued to their television because politics has become kind of a reality.
It's good theater.
Like, you know, yeah, like a Truman Show type situation. You know what I mean? Like, it's just an ongoing kind of thing. But it is kind of funny. I mean, Kevin McCarthy, who fucking sucks, you know, he's from like around, he represents a district around here, kind of like the Inland Empire, which is just like shitty, you know, like that's
sorry, like Inland Empire people who are listening. Sorry.
Yeah.
Riverside folks. It's not great.
I feel like people who are from the Inland Empire know it's kind of demonic, you know, in a certain way. Like there's just kind of, you know. And he fucking sucks. So it's fun to watch him squirm. I mean, because imagine, like, it's just like you just gotta love watching someone who's just been evil his whole life, working for like a goal to become the speaker of the motherfucking house.
And it's right there.
It's like he can taste it. And for the stupidest bullshit, some fucking
Matt fucking Geist is standing in front of you, bro.
Some fucking, the guy who, he looks like the fucking villain from The Incredibles, Matt Gaetz. Right. He looks like that demonic kid from The Incredibles, is just standing in his way, just like gleefully going like, I'm going to make you fucking squirm for this one. He probably will still get it. I mean, I was like talking to some of my friends in my group chat, you know, who are kind of like liberals or whatever. And they're like, you know, I would like to see a Dems cut a deal with like moderate Jesus Republicans. Christ. And I'm like, if the Democrats do that.
Christ, bro.
Like, this is like, it is one of the options on the table. I still don't believe it'll happen. I mean, again, this is like one of those weird pods where it could have all been resolved by tomorrow. But like, if the Dems cut a deal with the Republicans to install Kevin fucking McCarthy as Speaker of the House, they are the most cucked people who have ever lived.
It's like, that it's would be absurd. Just, that would be unforgivable. But he floated that to Matt Gaetz, and then Matt Gaetz, whatever the guy's name is, and said, yo, I can get, you know, I can whip up 10 Democratic Party votes that'll save me or whatever, which is a stupid bluff because that would make you look crazy to Republicans. Like, it'll you're cutting. You
look, it fits their argument perfectly. It makes you look like a fucking rhino.
Like that would be career suicide on your part. Like that's crazy that he would even make that threat. But it makes me feel like it's not completely impossible that they could, you know, extract this value from the Dems and then just tell them to go fuck themselves after, because the Dems don't know how to negotiate. They never know how to use leverage. They're always getting fucked over.
They're probably gonna get what they're gonna negotiate is like $5 billion more for Ukraine.
Of course. Yeah. Of course, but yeah, it's just funny to watch it again, to just watch it all play out. And the reason why this is also, it's also ridiculous, because it's like they're the crazies are like negotiating with this guy for like plum seats on committees and all of that stuff, and like you can't get to the process of, you know, chasing Hunter Biden's dick down the beltway before like swearing in a Speaker of the House. Like, you can't do any of your crazy shit before this happens. So it's like they're sort of shooting their nose despite their face too. But that's why this is just kabuki theater and hilarious and ultimately kind of meaningless, except to say that, you know, oh, just another thing too for people to understand. It's like Marjorie Taylor Greene happens to be on board with Kevin McCarthy. Like, he cut a deal with her and a couple of people or whatever. But I think this is also a sign that the footsie that the party has been playing with, like the quote unquote lunatic fringe, like this Frankenstein monster that they've been fucking dicking around with since, like, you know, basically Ronald Reagan starts his campaign in Mississippi talking about states' rights. Like, that Frankenstein monster has become sentient, and these people are actually in the fucking United States Congress, guys. Like, these aren't just people you just patronize for votes anymore. They have power now.
These people think that Joe Biden is like literally doing blood sacrifices to demonic occult forces. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you're going to cut a deal with some Democrats to fucking become Speaker of the House. But this is like a funny one. This is like a funny little, this is like one of those things where you just kind of want to watch the chaos continue. This is a headline from Semaphore, Ben Smith's new site. House members are worried that the speaker fight is messing with important national security issues. Get this, Waz. This is from the article. House members are worried the Republican brawl over who will be the next speaker has left them unable to conduct routine national security business, since members of the chamber's intelligence committee can't receive briefings involving classified information until the leadership fight is resolved and Congress is fully sworn in. The situation could prevent lawmakers from keeping a careful eye on ongoing issues like the war in Ukraine.
The fuck out of here. Like, this idea that these dudes get these briefings and that's how they save the world is fucking absurd. Yeah.
Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog. And Amin is giving his best ass on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodle's just like,
yeah, whatever. Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher-turned-podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep. Free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
Yeah. It is
Congress
absurd.
Is lucky they even fucking inform them what the fuck's going on.
They don't play a role in foreign politics, foreign policy. Like, you guys have no role. Like, that's just that is an absurd report. This idea that, like, yeah, they carefully comb through these security briefs based on their positions on, you know, the intelligence committee or the, you know, the judiciary or the, it's like, suck a dick. Come on, man. Nobody believes that shit. The average congressperson ain't thinking about national security. Are you kidding me, man?
Well, they don't, are they like to pretend they do? Like, They like to cosplay that they're fucking, you know, getting the briefings and then they're getting the thing.
Please.
And then they're
like, you know,
the fucking, they don't give a shit about like what some congressperson thinks.
That's crazy. That is that like that is absolutely crazy. Like they have they will no influence in that area. You know, if anything, they just rubber stamp what people from the national security sort of apparatus tell them to do. Like they don't have any fucking discernment. That's crazy. Anyway, man, I'm sure like as if you're watching the news, if you open up Washington Post or New York Times today, this is what they're all obsessed with right now. So I figured we'd talk about it. But man, I needed to get into this Greg Berhalter story because Nando, this is up there, man. This is not quite Benzema blackmailing and extorting his teammate, but this is quite salacious. So let's bring it back, right? Let's bring it all the way back to the World Cup where Gio Reyna, who most people thought was like the best guy on the freaking U.S. men's national team, is benched, not getting playing time. Nobody understands what's going on. They don't know if he's hurt, if he's out of shape. What the deal is, he's not playing. Finally, reports come out after the World Cup. It's basically like, Nando, he didn't play at first, and he started sulking. He started dogging it in practice. He just wasn't working as hard as the group, and it became such a nasty situation that his teammates were explaining to the coach, like, you can't put that guy in. You know, like, we actually bust our ass every day. We know the work that we put in to get to the World Cup, to put ourselves in this position. People got left home who bust their ass to be here. And this guy, he doesn't just come here and think he's entitled to minutes and hot dog it. And so, you know, the coach essentially benched him at the behest of the players. Okay, the players were behind this decision. Okay, and to me, that's the best freaking discipline or coaching that can happen when it's done amongst the peers, amongst the players. Okay, cool. Berhalter goes to some leadership summit. You know, he's bragging about how tough he was on a certain player out there. He claims to think it was going to stay private, whatever. And it gets out, and people are pissed off. It's just like, yo, we handled this in-house. Why are you sharing this with people? This shit is becoming public. Now you're embarrassing, dude. Now the punishment for the guy who hot-dogged it, Reyna, over there, is extending past
what he needed. It's important to point out Reyna is 19 years old.
Yes, he's a child.
He's a fucking kid.
He's a child, okay? Yeah. That is extremely important to point out. So he learned his lesson. He'll be at the next World Cup because it's in North America anyway. We don't even have to qualify for this shit. He will definitely be at the next World Cup. It's going to be great, right? Like, he'll have learned a lesson. It's going to be great. And so it gets out that this dude is talking smack about how tough of a coach he is and how he put his foot down and all of that. And, Nando, I would like for you to take over as to what has happened subsequently since then? Because this is just soap opera shit. This is like watching Gossip Girl at an OC or something.
Yeah. So it came out that at first it seemed like Claudio Reyna, who is Gio Reyna's father and one of the best American players to ever play, right? Like he was one of the first kind of like really good American players, if that makes sense. Wow. You know, he played in Europe for a little bit and you know, he was the captain of the 2002 team that, you know, made it to the quarterfinals, the best ever finish for the World Cup. He's like a stud, you know? And by the way, also worth pointing out, childhood friends with Greg Berhalter, the coach. So Claudio Reyna, Gio's father, came up in New Jersey soccer. They were on the same fucking club team as the coach, Greg Berhalter. Claudio Reyna's father, I think, was the coach of the club team when they were on it together. Wow. Okay, so they go fucking way back. Okay, they married, Greg Berhalter and Claudio Reyna married two women who were college roommates at UNC and played on the soccer team. Okay,
of course. So these people are close.
Close. Okay, and their wives are close.
Yes,
their wives are very close. The wives were college roommates. Okay, and we're teammates on the soccer team and shit. Claudio Reyna. So it seemed like, at first it seemed like it was Claudio Reyna. Now it looks like it was Danielle Reyna, or at least that's the officials. That's what the Reynas are saying, that they informed the leadership of U.S. soccer that back when in college in 1991, Greg Berhalter assaulted
His wife, his now wife, his yeah. then girlfriend.
His
yep.
His then girlfriend.
1991. We're not making light of domestic violence or any of that stuff, but he was 18 years old and all of that stuff. And so what's come out is that, and this is the official version from, you know, Gio Reyna's mom, like Danielle Reyna, basically this is official. She's saying, because my son was having a poor World Cup experience, and it was at the hands of this coach, who is not some stranger, a guy who I've known since I'm 18, 17, whatever years old, I informed the management, the powers that be at U.S. Men's Soccer, that he once had a domestic disturbance issue with his now wife when he was 18. I just thought they should know this. Because her son didn't get no burn in the World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, I can see the thought process. I mean, outside of like just the pure kind of revenge, I can see the thought process like, oh, you think my 19-year-old kid is being a bit of a punk? You know, like, what were you like when you were fucking that age? Sure. You know what I mean? Sure. Like, you know, like, no, you know, like, just... you don't have any leeway for like a, you know, a 19-year-old being a little bit of a punk, especially one who's been like one of the most talented players of his generation one of the most talented American soccer players ever since he was a fucking kid. His father was on the fucking team. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that kid's going to be a fucking punk. I mean, you and I played sports. You know, there was always like that kid who was just like supernaturally talented.
Yeah, he's just entitlement. It's just pure entitlement. Yeah. Then you add the Gen Z aspect to it. Oh, Lord have mercy. God almighty.
Yeah. you know, before any of this kind of went down, I thought like...
Hold on, one more thing. Berhalter put out a statement saying, yo... people running a smear campaign against me. I'm going to come out and tell you what happened. You know, it was 30 years ago. We drunkenly got into a fight at the bar. He says that he kicked her in her leg. No police were called. Whatever, they made up. 7 months later, they got together. They've since married. They've been together for 30 years. They've got kids, all of that. You know, we grew stronger out of the situation. Whatever. People trying to blackmail me, smear my name. He comes out with that statement. Danielle rebuttals and says, well, actually, that was my roommate. He's downplaying the extent of the abuse and the trauma he caused. I was the one who healed her and helped heal her afterwards. This guy's full of crap. He actually really did a number on it. I was like, boy, this is crazy.
No, it's wild. Like I honestly, like my thought, before I knew any of the inner workings or whatever, and you always have to wait to see this, but like my thought was like watching the U.S. play in the World Cup, you know, the U.S. isn't like a fucking stacked ass team.
No,
you know, damn. I always find that if a coach can't find a way to get his best players on the field working together, you know, and playing well and maximizing the limited talent pool that you have, which the U.S. does have an extreme. So like, yeah, Brazil fucking loses whatever, they could get some other guy who's fucking amazing. You know what I mean?
Right.
It would be like an Argentina. I mean, it's not quite the same thing because Gio Reyna is nowhere near as good as this, but like, imagine if some Argentina coach just had a problem with Messi. Right. You know, like, just to put an exaggerated
Who's gonna win out of that fight? Like, yeah, or Di Maria. You know what I'm saying? Like a big, big part of the team.
Yeah. So, you know, I was thinking like, man, the fact that Gio Reyna, you know, played only 50 minutes or something in four games during this World Cup with a very limited attack. Like the U.S., one of the biggest problems the U.S. had was like they just didn't have a lot of good forwards, you know?
Yep.
And Gio Reyna is a forward and can make things happen and can score goals and can make shit happen. You know, that's an indictment on the coach, you know? Like, I'm sorry. Like, and the U.S. like has to find a way to get Gio Reyna to play because he's just so much better than like his replacement guy, you know? Mm-hmm. Man, seeing all this, you know, I wonder if like the Reyna family has just raised like, or they're just like kind of like psycho soccer moms. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That have feels
that way.
You know, and like in a way, sometimes that kind of thing like does create a great, like it does kind of make a child kind of psychotically focused on soccer. That'll then make them better. You know what I mean? But it does feel like maybe like
no the teammates are like middle manager, you know, like, the way he is, Berhalter. Let's face it, that's what coaches are. They're middle management. And, you know, this guy, this kid who is clearly more important than you on the pecking order of the organization, yeah. But you have authority. And then it's like his parents are like this is what they did, you know, behind the scenes. You can only imagine the kind of conversations or voice messages or emails or text messages that might have been exchanged, you know, secondhand convos that might have happened. Like, you can't even imagine what these people have done outside of this. And, you know, who knows what the players are privy to and all of that. And to me, again, that's the most important. Like, the players who – I think a lot of people don't understand this aspect of professional sports. There's a sort of separation of church and state that goes on in the sense that the coaches are their own entity. They're like a separate division of the company. You know, the players are their own company, division, whatever you want to call, and coaching and management, like there's something else. They're other. They're them.
Yeah.
You know, and so for the players to look at a disciplinary action against one of their own and be like, no, it's justified, and to side with management and coaching, like that takes a lot. The players don't come to that easily. Yeah. That's not how locker rooms are structured. Like these guys really look at it as like, yo, we're part of essentially a brotherhood, a fraternity, damn near, fraternal order. And those other cats who don't go out there and do what we do, put the blood, sweat, and tears on the field, they're them. And so, like, yeah. I don't think that could be discounted. Like, Berhalter might have wanted to be some fake hard rock, but, like, the players were behind him. Like, that's what's been
totally.
You know?
Totally. I think the Berhalter saying that shit at the fucking – I can't even say his fucking name. Saying that shit at the leadership conference is one of the stupidest things I can imagine. Dumb. I can remember a coach doing. That's fucking naivete. Like, oh, yeah, it was officially off the record. You're at an event, okay? You're speaking to – you're speaking in public. You know what I mean? Like, this is the fucking social media era. You know, people have fucking phones. People are recording shit. People are taking pictures. Like, to think that that's not going to be a public thing – first of all, you shouldn't even say it outside of like your very trusted circle of like your family and maybe like your staff and things like that. Mm-hmm. Like, you shouldn't be bad mouthing your, especially like a player with that
a
kind of
very
stature.
Important player. Yes.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you really should not be doing that because that undermines, I mean, because then the teammates don't like that either. You know what I mean? Like, they don't, like, as shitty as Gio may have been and as pissed off as his teammates may have been at him, like, to see their coach publicly trashing a player and questioning his effort and, you know, sending
they were pissed about that. They were not happy. So, like, to me, that shit that he did at the symposium or whatever is a fireable offense. And then, you know, because this story refuses to not get better. His contract was up on the 31st of December. He will not be the coach the next time the team gathers. They're gathering this month for something. I can't remember. I read it somewhere. And yeah, he will not be the manager, head coach at that gathering, bros. This is wild. Just a mess. And, you know, as my buddy said, this is why we cannot have nice things. Oh, okay. So breaking, it says U.S. Soccer announced that Anthony Hudson will serve as U.S. men's national team head coach for January camp. So there's a camp that they're going to gather for. I'm sure this will be like the first time that everybody gets together since World Cup, debrief, talk about what they want to accomplish for the year and all of that. And he's not going to be the head coach there. I don't see how this guy comes back, Nando, after this.
I don't think so either. He can't.
Because the kid is 19. He's not like Ronaldo where it's like his last cup, his last go-round with the team. Yeah. Like, he's going to be part of the team for the next decade. And so the relation, this is a level of toxicity that just can't be fixed. There's nothing to fix here. This is done.
No, and yeah, I mean, it's again, like I said, when you have a sort of such a limited talent pool, you have to do everything possible to fix the Gio Reyna situation. You know what I mean? Like, he's a fucking 19-year-old punk. He's better. He's good.
Yeah,
score fucking goals.
We gotta do that.
You know,
like, we gotta do.
Is this a true story? I remember, like, am I misremembering this? Like, when Tony Parker like slept with his teammate's wife and they traded the teammate.
Well, this isn't. I don't think. Allegedly, he got with Brent Berry's wife, but I don't think Brent Berry got traded. No, that's rumor and innuendo, and we don't know that that's actually true or not.
Well, I
think
it's my job. But like, if it were true, it would be a logical decision.
But Tony Parker did not. If it were true, he was not removed from the team. No, he was.
Probably Brent Berry would be removed.
Right, exactly. If he wasn't the best player, Tim was still the best player, he was right behind him. Second best player on the team at the time. That just wasn't going to happen. And to be honest, we see exceptions get made for the best guys in sports all the time. And again, this isn't like Gio Reyna was just, he just behaved like a punk. He didn't do anything messed up. He just was a dumb 19-year-old. And so that is what it is. But yeah, we'll be monitoring that. Premier League is back. Man City smoked their first opponent. I don't even remember who they played. It was 3-0, and then they somehow managed to tie Everton, which is an embarrassing.
Dude, Arsenal, though. Arsenal is like – I mean, if Arsenal pulls off this league against the Man City juggernaut, it'll be a pretty impressive
– very impressive.
Achievement. I fucking can't mark Odegaard.
There's enough time for Arsenal to blow it. Don't worry.
Oh, no, of course. But that kid, fucking Martin Odegaard Haaland's teammate from Norway. They're both, like, these kids are gonna. I mean, that team. Madrid sold, but he Madrid bought him when he was a child. When he was 16, he was like, he came up through the Madrid ranks.
Wow, and I did not know that.
They sold him for fucking peanuts to Arsenal. A little bit because of like the Gio Reyna situation that he was. I think it was last year or the year before. No, it was the year before. He was on the team. He was on the Madrid team. And he wasn't starting because like they got Modric and they got Cruz and whatever, and he was like not reacting to that great. And Madrid fucking sold him. And now I'm like, man, shit, you know, like, he's fucking awesome.
I'm happy for Arsenal. Their fans are really happy. I know a lot of them are very tortured people, but you know they're playing over their heads and killing it. I'm just happy that Premier League is back and. Yeah, we could do it. But yeah, that's our show for today. Want to thank everybody again for their support throughout the year. Looking forward to this new year. Become a Patreon at patreon.com/countthedings. That's a cup of Starbucks per month in order to do so. We'll see you guys next week. Peace. We're out of here.